Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We're just three mates that love the game. And we are back here for our Sunday podcast, which is covering off the Lions tour and everything else that's been going on in the world of rugby. Hit subscribe and you'll get our Lions focus ones through the week, doing extra podcasts through the tour. And then this one, of course, which we bring you weekly, 52 weeks a year. I'm Tim. We've got JB in the house as well.
Hello, Timothy.
We've got Philip.
Hello, Tim.
I'm going to double back to JB because you're sounding a little bit hoarse there, mate.
Oh, what a weekend. What a city Barcelona is, by the way.
Well, we've...
I didn't know this. They have like a festival of fire or something. I don't know what it is. But basically, everyone stays up for a long, long time. On the last day of the year. I think that's it. Anyway, I'm kind of putting two and two together, but bloody brilliant city. And like next time there's any kind of rugby or any excuse for rugby, I'm going to Barcelona.
Just to go and watch it in a bar in Barcelona.
Yeah, so two interesting things, right? First of all is the Spanish national team. This is a massive success, which no one really appreciates. But the Spanish national team is the only Tier 2 nation to be managed by or coached by a national of that country.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, so most of them are coached by, I don't know, for instance, Milton Hague at Georgia. That's the first thing. And I was with a lad who was playing in Spain for a while, and he said, like, the rugby culture there is still really strong. They have great, great fans.
Is it
and
just, like, little small pockets of it in Spain?
Yeah, so, I mean, I say small pockets. We were linked to a team in Madrid called something or other. We've got a top around here.
Yeah, we've got a tie up there.
Yeah, and they've got a membership of hundreds. It's ridiculous. Anyway, you don't need to hear much more about that.
No, that's all right. But their sevens team's been doing very, very well on the sevens circuit.
Yeah.
And been improving quickly. So, yeah. But come on, that's not the sort of tour stories we want to hear about. Come on, we've been asking people to share their tour stories.
I will tell you, something which made me laugh. I've got two friends. One of them was on the tour, the other one wasn't. And he was telling me about this time that one of my friends had an argument over the phone with an ex-girlfriend. And to demonstrate to the lads how angry he was, he threw his floor on the phone. But it was described as he threw his phone gently on the floor. So my friend helped him out by stamping on his phone to make sure he finished the job. Which I love, that as a visual.
I've got a tour story or two a little bit later on in the podcast. Leave your review on the Apple Podcast app. We're also on Acast and anywhere else you can find a podcast. That's where we are. We just search and then subscribe for Egg Chasers. Rich Knight has left a review and said, due to this podcast, I now have a thicker, longer shaft with my name on it. It's a good job you don't promote Tim Nanai Williams dummies, as I would have bought that as quickly as Sonny Bill Williams did. Great insight and good to hear someone that shares his Gatlin conspiracies. P.S. It would be great if you guys could keep an eye out for the English Championship. Yeah, we used to be good at that when I had a member of my family that played in it. That's definitely a could do better.
Yeah,
we'll take that one. But if you, like Rich Knight, would like a thicker, longer shaft with your name on it as well, then the wonderful people at Cornerstone help us make this podcast. They are, in our opinion, the best razor on the market. And we believe if you're using Gillette Wilkinson Sword, you are using an inferior product. You could get a beautiful Cornerstone presentation box delivered straight to you, 6 razors and an engraved aluminium shaft, £4. you could get that for less than a pint because you listen to us. And if you go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, that's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, or
egg10 at checkout.
Right. Me and Phil gave our thoughts on the first test. Let's just have sort of a little brief powwow. Now we've got us all in the room. JB, did you manage to watch it? Or can you remember watching it?
Yes, I watched the whole thing. I've watched it twice. You've got to take your hat off to New Zealand. It's like they listened to the podcast and they thought, what does JB think? How does JB think that the Lions are going to win this?
It's not all about you, JB.
Yeah, no, it's not. But in this case, it is. And they actually did to the Lions what I thought the Lions would do to them. But they did it with such skill and precision. I mean, it's just why they're the best in the world. No one expected this. No one expected the All Blacks to come out and just play off 9 over and over again. It was brutal. It was intense. It was disciplined. They were brilliant. They were absolutely brilliant. And the reason you know they're so good is because I think a lot of the Lions guys were brilliant too. Teo, Davis, Williams, Daly, all played very well. And yet they got beaten by, 15 points?
Yeah, one thing nobody predicted, none of us predicted, was that it would be the Lions backs that would show up.
Yeah.
And the Lions pack that would get bullied.
And they really did.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I thought the Lions would win the Gainland confrontation. And they didn't. That's exactly where they went backwards. Having said that, the All Blacks did not cross the Lions try line, basically, in open play. They didn't manufacture any points. So that's very encouraging. So nothing came from open play. It was the tap penalty, the scrum, and a dropped kick.
I've heard people saying this, but there's a little bit... It's almost... I don't think you can detach the relentlessness and the intensity that New Zealand play at and the fact that the Lions lost concentration for that tap penalty. If you're getting battered, and at the time when they scored the first try, Cody Taylor, at the time they scored that try, they'd just been on the back of 10 minutes of relentless New Zealand attack. And I think you can't detach the two. The brain switched off for a second, and they were absolutely battered from the fact that attack.
You can't detach the two, definitely.
But he could also have gone through.
I think there is certainly a positive that the Lions can take out of that their defence, in mostly in open play, was resolute.
Mm. Yeah, even with all that possession, it's still held up. But I'm going to take your point and just expand it a bit. The Cody Taylor one, they switched off. Because maybe they were a little bit tired, a little bit exhausted. I think the same thing happened for the Kieran Reid try. The reason the Lions scrum wasn't working was because they were tired. It's hard work, and the All Blacks picked their scrums very, very well. So I'm not sure they were dominant on every scrum, but when they decided to be, that was the one that they went for.
Yeah, yeah. The scrum was interesting. It was interesting hearing Steve Hansen after the game, and he got asked a question by a journalist, and who said, "Your tight five performed very well, arguably got the better. Some people were saying that might be an area of weakness or an area of strength for the Lions." And his response was, "I love it when people say that they're going to attack our tight five, because we've been number one team in the world for the last 8 years now." And you don't get to be the number one team in the world without having probably the best tight five in the world.
A decent tight five.
So I was very happy when the Lions were saying and people were saying that they were going to attack our tight five. And they tried to today and didn't win.
He also said, look what they can do when they go for it. Why don't they do that more?
Yeah.
Mind games.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll get on to this in a second. I think there's one thing, and this is maybe going back a few podcasts when we were talking about the basic skills of every Kiwi player and across Super Rugby, across the whole international squad, across just the country. And Andy Farrell has got that defence working brilliantly, and the line speed was there again on Saturday. But if you can offload like New Zealanders can offload, you can't defend the gain line.
I'm torn on this because the possession stats were in New Zealand's favour. I don't think possession stats are necessarily the best marker of who wins or best indicator of a winner. But there's been a lot mentioned about the New Zealand offloading game. I actually think the one thing that surprised me is maybe how little they did offload. I think they were looking for like
there was
they were looking
ton,
for
ground. There was tons of it. There was tons of it, and there was also tons there of was, that like passing in contact just before
yeah,
contact.
They had very small little like groups of three, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, which it's just incredible skill levels in tight situations, even when you're talking about forwards.
Yeah.
It was backs and forwards. They were all doing it. And you can't defend the gain line when you can shift the ball.
I think it was quite an innovative...
Innovative.
Innovative way to play rugby. We all expected to see more Beauden Barrett. And we didn't really see much of him.
Well, he did get moved to 15 quite
yeah,
early.
Yeah, yeah but, just, okay, just... the backs in general. You know, it's just not what we saw. What we saw was very smart, intricate, one at rugby playing off the nine.
And we saw an excellent kicking game from Aaron Smith as well.
Yeah, hit some of his kicks.
Some of their box
brilliant.
Kicks.
So,
choosing the right
and
time.
And again, this is what we thought Lions would do to them.
Yeah.
And who would have thought that the magic wasn't going to come from the All Blacks?
Well, one of the best tries of all time.
I think that is the best try of all time.
Nah.
No, it might not be...
That classic Barbarians one against the All Blacks in with Gareth Edwards.
Yeah. But you've got to consider the... Because you've got to consider the situation... And that
well, that was I would consider that situation the Barbarians v New Zealand.
But yeah, it's Barbars.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's
but
do, it's a lower
it?
Level.
That doesn't mean, but you're still playing the All Blacks.
You are still playing the All Blacks,
and there was no World Cup at that time, so it was a massive occasion.
Do you think there was as much on the line as in this first test in that one-off Barbarians All Blacks game?
You'd have to ask someone that was around at the time, but I certainly I think there probably was.
See, I think
you had basically a British and Irish Lions team. Playing the All Blacks in a massively hyped game with more people at the ground there than there were than there's probably been at any international in the last 10 years, and a try that had unbelievable skill levels. Let's not compare. They were both amazing tries.
I'm not trying to do it down. I'm just saying that.
Yeah. I think this is the best try of all time.
The
I think
occasion,
it's right up there.
Yeah, the occasion of this try. Does make it that little bit more special.
It wasn't the best bit of skill. It wasn't the best form. It was just everything. When you balance it all out, that's going to be like the Living with Lions highlights for... Well, that is it. Yeah. That is it. And if they'd have won the game, it would be 100% nailed on.
Yeah.
In the moment, I'm kind of speculating. It's sort of up there. Yeah. It's sort of up there. If they'd won the game, 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to make a prediction now for next week. Ready for this one?
Yeah. Prediction last week didn't quite work out right.
Not quite right, but my prediction for next week is I think we're going to see one of the all-time great games in the second test. I think the Lions will be even more competitive. And I don't know. I mean...
My fear was that we had to win that game. Lions have never beaten New Zealand in consecutive games. The one time in history they've won a tour there, they beat them... Test 1 and 3,
yeah,
and we're playing. So we've got to do what no Lions team has ever done.
Yep,
and that's beat New Zealand twice in a row. We're talking about the best team of all time, arguably in any sport.
Yep,
yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I just don't think it can happen.
But I think it could. I've seen enough from this weekend to suggest it could happen.
I've seen enough to kind of. Validate my previous statement, which is Lions could possibly win 1 in 10 games. I think on average, if you played 10 times, Lions would probably win, which means that they've got a small chance of winning one of the remaining two games. If they win the first one of the remaining two games, then it's all to play for. But I think we're very likely to be 45 minutes into next Saturday's game.
And it's gone.
And it's already over.
I'd sort of said it on the podcast on yesterday with you, Phil. I think the game actually, when you look back at it, was lost when actually those. I mean, bearing in mind what you saw from Cody Taylor picking the ball off his laces,
yeah,
unbelievable hands from a hooker, and then we couldn't. Our back line couldn't finish a move in 2 minutes. You almost think that the game was gone. But I'll tell you what, you two play judge and jury for a second.
All right,
okay.
I'll throw you some of the fallout from yesterday, and you see what you think. So. Jaco Paper has got a lot of stick. Kyle Layton tweeted us at Rugby Podcast and said, no wonder the South African economy is fooked with people like Jaco Paper as bastion of the laws. I thought he was equal. There was no bias or anything.
Yeah.
It was he made calls rightly and wrongly on both directions. It didn't.
But
no impact.
New Zealand were smarter at getting around that. Now, I don't think he officiated the ruck particularly well. I think there was a few infringements that people got away with.
Mm.
But New Zealand identified that and continued to do.
Yeah.
Continued to put their hands in, come off their feet and get away with it, whereas the Lions seemingly didn't contest at the ruck and didn't try and slow the New Zealand ball down.
So, and I think this is going to be a really good argument to bring Sam Warburton back.
Yeah, to slow things down.
We'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that next.
So Jakob Piper, no case to answer.
No case to answer. Yep. Alan Wynne-Jones and George Cruz had shockers.
Not shockers.
That's what a lot of people are saying.
Yeah, I'm not going to do them with murder, but they can have time for manslaughter. How's that sound?
How about you, Phil? You sort of talked about this yesterday.
Yeah, disappointed in both of them. I'm not suggesting we change both of them, but I think Marrow needs to start.
There is a lot of Irish fans.
So what are we saying about those two? Manslaughter, not murder.
Below par.
Yeah.
They may not get a custodial sentence. It may just be a... May have to do a bit of a...
Sweep the streets.
Yeah, sweep the streets.
That's getting off lightly for manslaughter.
It is, isn't it?
Well, I suppose it is, yeah. Okay, so the next one is that Owen Farrell needs to be dropped. And, in fact, let's not get into drop conversations. It's just he was really bad. A lot of Irish fans are saying this, obviously, with Johnny Sexton being on the bench.
I don't remember that.
No, it's not what I saw either. So I think we did all right. Pretty quickly. Did fine.
I mean, like, I guess you'd say he didn't.
Did miss his kicks.
Yeah, but
he's less than two out of three for the tour.
My argument would be, because there was so much All Black possession, he didn't really get into his stride. I mean, he wasn't controlling the game because he had nothing to control.
Yeah.
So he gets a pass.
And the next one is, and I'm going to put this one forward. This is one that I don't think has been mentioned very much. The much vaunted Conor Murray kicking game, I thought was really quite bad.
It wasn't great. And a kick is only as good as a chase. And the chase is only as good as the opportunity to get near the ball. And the New Zealand back three did deal with them very, very well. Even when you move Bowden Barrett there, he's incredibly experienced at doing that. It certainly wasn't a strength. And if you compare Conor Murray to Aaron Smith, Aaron Smith arguably kicked smarter, so kicked at the right times and executed better.
Yeah, Aaron Smith had one kick and the All Blacks were under the cosh. I can't remember exactly where he kicked it from, but it was so smart because the pressure needed to be relieved.
There was one where he was inside his own 22 near the 5 metre
line. I
think
that's the one.
In the first half, and he kicked a box kick and made the halfway line.
Yeah, like was it quite a shallow halfway
line. Yeah, he was only six yards from the touchline.
He had a really good
game.
Got
50
and Perenara off the bench was great as well.
Yeah,
they did have an armchair ride behind that pack. Right. So now next question. So we can talk briefly about more of these in a bit. But I'm going to ask us all to pick one thing that we'd change. Now that could be a tactical adjustment if you were Warren Gatland and the coaching team. Or it could be a personnel change, but one thing. What's your one thing that you would change?
So mine will be controversial because I thought he played really well, but he limits the Lions' opportunity. So I would drop Benteo and move Farrell across.
Wow. I certainly wouldn't be doing that. I would bring back Sam Warburton. I thought Peter O'Mahony, he's had a great tour, great player. But actually, I think there were a ton of rocks. And I just think if you need someone to slow something down, Sam Warburton's your man. I mean, no one is even in his league when it comes to messing up rocks. Well, maybe Peter O'Mahony is, actually.
I just don't see... If you're running backwards, that works if the defensive line is stopping people in front of the gain line.
Well,
but
it's kind of chicken
I just don't think that works.
If Sam Warburton, or if anyone can slow down...
The first
bit, well, then the defence gets quicker and gets off the line. So it kind of works in both ways. So, yes, I take your point. If they're getting battered and on the back foot all the time, fine. But if you slow down that ruck enough, then you can get on the front foot defensively. And then it's kind of... That is the beauty and the intricacy of the game.
So I feel whatever we do, I don't think any of the changes that are available to Gatland will significantly increase the Lions' chance of winning.
Yeah. I would just
so we're talking about something that is a very, very difficult situation.
Yeah. Yeah. So for that reason, my perspective was kind of what I said last week, which is I'd rather go out swinging. Well, and so I would probably go, and on the basis of Saturday, I mean, Marrow, I'm trying to think of one thing. Okay, one thing, picking one thing, it is Farrell to 12.
Yeah, so same as me then.
Just go. For the same reason last week, I'd probably also, that's our one thing.
Yeah.
But then I'm going to throw this one in, Marrow to start.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I would definitely do Marrow to start.
I would definitely start Marrow.
I'm not sure. Courtney
Laws on the bench instead of Alan Wynn.
I'd probably go with Hendo, purely because Hendo is a better carrier.
Do you know what? I might even start Laws. I mean, if I was going to make a change to the starting lineup, I might go with Laws over anyone. I think my most likely scenario would be don't change anything.
I think that is probably the most likely scenario.
Don't change anything. You're not a million miles away.
Yeah, Gatlin doesn't like making wholesale changes unless he's forced to.
But Laws, I mean, if you want to bring a bit of violence, yep, you know, a bit more impact, not a bad guy to...
Well, I mean, there might be an argument for Hendo and Laws on the bench.
Yeah, and you could do it, I guess, because... Because
if you play Sexton and Farrell both starting, you can do a 6-2 split. Yeah. So you have a scrum half and an outside back as your replacements, then forwards.
Well, I suppose one of them could be a back row replacement as well.
You could do it like that, but I'd want it because the New Zealand pack was so good. I'd want a 6-2 split, and the Sexton Farrell allows you to do that.
Yeah. Mm. And so I'd probably go for the Jaffers. Just I'd say I don't think they're going to win. I'd go out swinging. Sexton, probably Webb, Sexton, Farrell, Joseph. Although JD2 would be, mind him.
You can't drop JD2.
I'd keep him. Yeah. But yeah, I'd probably just go Webb, Sexton, Farrell. Just go for it.
I feel bad calling for Pete Teo to be dropped because he didn't do anything wrong.
No, he didn't.
But the most dangerous players were the outside backs. JD2, Daly, Watson and Liam Williams were so dangerous with ball in hand, but they were living off scraps. They could only get kind of broken field, kick return ball because we weren't able to get the ball past 12-13 and use them in open play.
Yeah, this is, I mean, I wouldn't change anything pack wise, but it does demonstrate to the importance of the separate battle. I am surprised they didn't, actually, thinking about it now, surprised they didn't do a little bit better.
Well, the line-out was brilliant.
The line-out was
superb.
Brilliant all tour.
Alan Wynne-Jones looked absolutely spent on half an hour, but again, we talked about this on Saturday. He took a knock.
He did take a heavy knock.
You wonder why he waited till the prescribed period of time to bring him off. I
kind of feel that he should have been identified after 15 minutes that he wasn't right. I mean, we've just rewatched the highlights, me and Jay, and the tap, when Aaron Smith quick tapped for that try, Alan Wynne-Jones wasn't even looking in the same direction.
No.
He was looking towards us. He kind of staggered back, picked himself up. He was the last man up off the deck, staggered back to the line and wasn't even looking at the ball. He was looking at the sideline when that quick tap happened. Now, he wasn't out of position, but he wasn't... So he's not culpable for the try.
Yeah, and when they tapped the Lions, not just him, but there was a handful of Lions, they looked like they didn't even believe what was happening.
Yeah.
Like, this is such a stupid idea to tap and go from there.
Yeah.
It was amazing. They all just stopped.
But they even managed to do that, throw a terrible pass and still score in the corner because that's just the skills that they've got. Now, one thing Phil mentioned, which I think there's a little bit in this, so I think we should briefly touch on this. Phil said you weren't sure you could put any player from any country in the whole world into that Lions team and change the outcome, change the result. So...
I don't think you could assemble in 4 weeks. I don't think you could assemble a World 15 to beat the All Blacks.
So,
no.
To add into that 15, I'll throw these ones at you. The props you could probably happily keep the same. It would be like for like in most countries.
I would want a tight head. I would want.
Well, come on, Furlong. We've been talking him up as like one of the best tight ends in the world. So all I'm saying is let's not split hairs. You could go, I'll have that one
Herrera
over that one,
possibly.
But it's not Herrera maybe. But it's not like a huge upgrade It's like for like.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe with the exception of Creevy, who is a big step up at hooker.
Yeah.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Just only
Jamie George, 20 tackles, 100% lineout.
Only in terms of experience. So that was Jamie George's first test start.
Oh, you want someone to...
Creevy. I could go for Creevy.
Yeah. Yeah. Jamie George was team's top tackler.
Yeah, but like the quality of the tackles. Imagine Creevy putting 10, they would be 10 bone shakers that would...
I don't know. And also it's things like, you know, Jamie George and Creevy have something in common, which is they're incredibly skillful hookers. I mean, remember the third test, Jamie George just dropping onto his shoe to score via that grubber.
Oh, against Australia.
Yeah, so, okay. You know...
Number 8, you could upgrade it with Billy Vunipola or King Louis.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably your best one yet, because I don't think it's an actual upgrade. I don't think they're much better players than Faletau. In fact, I think they are equally as good, but they do different
things.
They're
different.
And it's the ball carrying that they really need.
It's heavy traffic ball carrying.
Yeah, that would make a huge difference.
Yeah.
So Billy would be important.
And then in the back line, Izzy Folau would make a difference.
Yeah. He would do.
And then centres, you could probably upgrade both. Well, you could definitely upgrade both positions, whether it be Beal and Karevi or...
Fofana, if he was fit.
Fofana.
I don't know, actually.
Oh, definitely they're upgrades.
Why?
Because it's Bentio and JD too.
That's not good enough. Give me more than that.
No, I don't need to give you more. Just look at the international... Look at them in international rugby.
JD2, you would struggle to upgrade at the moment. I think
he's bloody brilliant, mate.
This season, I don't think he's been great, but he has peaked on this tour.
He has peaked. Both those centres have been peaking.
I tell you what, mate.
JD2
I think,
is in incredible form.
I think that Sonny Bill Williams would be happy to see Tio go. I mean, that doesn't wash for me. I'm trying to think of someone who would be clearly better.
Well, this is exactly it. And of those players that we've mentioned, which of those would get into a New Zealand 15? I'm gonna say only Izzy Folau, and that's not even a definite because Izzy Dagg was awesome. Bin Smuth
is incredible,
and look at Ioane.
I'm gonna go back to what I said a few weeks ago. I don't think any of them get in that team.
Well, exactly,
because the team. I mean, they actually have better players than they put out in their first 15. But the team is more important than the standard of the players.
Who's better in their position but doesn't get into the New Zealand?
Well, team? I mean, look. I mean, I know we've spoken about them a million times now. But like the two lads who play at the Hurricanes, who are the top try scorer and second top try scorer respectively. Well, I mean, that's bloody amazing.
Have we not identified through this tour, despite what we thought pre-tour, and despite what you know you said?
I mean,
despite what you said pre-tour, that there is. An unbelievable gulf between Super Rugby and international rugby. A massive gulf.
Yes.
We can agree on that now.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, there is a big gulf.
Yes.
So saying someone's a top try scorer when playing against the Jaguares, Sunwolves, it's like, come on.
Such a broad church. I mean, if you are in the New Zealand conferences, you're probably playing against teams that are better than a lot of international teams. So... But, not always, but if you're playing Sunwolves, it's like playing, I don't know, Bristol.
Well, exactly. So let's not say top try scorer.
Well, no, let's.
Someone stood outside Bowden Barrett playing against Jaguares is going to score 3 tries.
But you can say.
But you can say.
A good example of the point you're trying to make, Jay, would be having. So Ben Smith and Israel Dagg are nowhere near as good physical athletes as Surveyor and Waisaki Naholo.
Yeah.
So they are. Athletically, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster, better step. Dagg and Smith read the game better and fit into that team.
Same with
they fit into any team better.
They get the players.
Same with
they fit into any team better. Surely,
It depends what the team's going to do.
What do you mean? Depends what the team are going to do.
It depends what the team's going to do.
If you've got that rugby brain, then this maybe goes back to
the point is
to something I've talked about before, which is. Without those basic, incredible core skills, you're never, ever going to get to the level of New Zealand.
Because you can't beat
the rugby brain and raw talent and incredible skills of Ben Smith and Israel Dagg with massively physical guys.
Yeah, I think you can. I mean, it depends what the team wants to do on the day, but, you know, Surveyor and Naholo wouldn't be a downgrade. They'd just be
different.
They'd just be different.
I know, you were
they'd
saying they were you were saying they were better. You said there's
better
players.
Well, they are better at certain things.
They're better at certain things.
They're not better rugby players.
It depends what the team wants.
Okay, fine.
It's not.
I mean,
like those Israel Dagg and Ben Smith fit into the team
George
better,
North,
which is the point that Jay was.
Yeah,
I was just taking it at face value, which is their better players aren't in the team.
Yeah, but they've got players all over New Zealand who are incredible players, and I think would be. Well, the point I'm trying to make is the All Blacks are bigger than the sum of their parts. They're such a well-rounded unit. That's why I don't think that they bring that many new guys in, because you've got to be so good. Not only have you got to be as good as the person that you're taking over from, you've got to be better.
Because you've got to fit into the setup immediately better than the person who's already integrated.
Exactly. So that's why no one we just listed would get in that team.
Yeah. And I don't think you could put a team together and give them 4 weeks, any players, the best players from the rest of the world, and they'd be able to beat the All Blacks. If you gave them 6 months or 12 months, which is why when England play them in a year's time or 18 months' time, it will be more interesting.
Yeah, it will be.
Because they've got those connections, you've got the players who are used to playing together and operate as a unit. So, kind of, I guess my argument there would be the best chance the Lions would have had of beating New Zealand would have been to give Eddie Jones the job and just play the England team.
Yeah, probably.
Because all the connections...
Rather than give Gatland the job and just pick the Wales team.
Wales have tried it a few times.
Yeah.
They've been banging their head. Gatland's been banging his head against that brick wall for a while now.
Biggest loser of this tour is who?
Biggest loser?
Biggest loser. Who's really suffered during this tour?
Well, other than Rob Howley and Warren Gatland?
I think they're coming out of this with a lot of credit, but we can get on to them later.
I don't know who you're thinking of.
Dylan Hartley. So he's not had a great tour with England, and meanwhile his understudy is ripping up trees over in New Zealand.
I'm not sure I'd go that far. He's been good.
He's been bloody good, really, really good. So I mean,
it will put pressure on Hartley.
Oh,
huge
for certain, for sure.
That is for certain, which is good for England.
He'll take that well. I'm sure he'll take that.
Do you reckon?
Well, it'll be interesting to see, because the last few games he's played for Northampton, he's not...
Yeah, I was going to say, he can't just fall back on his club form. The whole thing is, he's international captain, and that'll be it. He just plays for England.
Yeah.
And if he's not playing for England, he's in a lot of trouble.
They should do like France have done with Vakatawa.
Yeah, centrally contract him.
Centrally contract him as the only centrally contracted player, and he plays sevens and he plays 15s.
Sevens, that'd be awesome. Yeah. Did you have another question, Tim?
No.
Cool. So that's the Lions pretty much polished
done,
off.
Done and dusted.
Yeah. And even looked at, let's wrap it up and just, like, because we've already said what we would change for next week. I don't expect many changes to happen.
No.
Mako will start, I mean, surely. Yeah. But other than that, I'm not expecting major changes. I can only see New Zealand getting stronger. So I thought it was kind of win or bust on that. I hate saying it, but I think it was win or bust on that game.
So, yes, I am entirely with you. Just playing devil's advocate, because I completely agree with your point, but that All Blacks team is settled, so having an extra game will kind of improve that cohesiveness 1%, whereas Lions are unsettled, relatively. That's the first game that starting line has had together. So if you can keep all those players together... The increase of New Zealand will be 1%. The increase of the Lions could be 10% or 20%.
I've seen enough from the Lions to think that they've got a good chance of running them close. I think this is going to be one of the all-time great games. I've got massive, massive high hopes for it.
And everyone that was hoping for a great game is now probably sighing, going, "Oh, Jay,
don't curse us again."
Well, I mean, I predicted the first test almost perfectly.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Providing is swap around the teams. I told you how the
4-point Lions win to a 15-point New Zealand.
I basically
loss.
Told you both how to win this game. Sadly, the
do you know
Lions
what? Even drunk in Barcelona, friend of the pod, Bryn Williams on that Periscope nailed it because he said, "Do you know what? I could see the Lions sneaking it if they get some early scores, but equally, I can imagine New Zealand getting 10 or 15-point win just by taking their chances." He pretty much said that whilst hammered.
Yeah.
So fair play, Bryn.
That's exactly what they did as well. Go back to Hansen and Howley. Do you not think Gatland and Howley? Do you not think that they've done a good job?
So, Howley?
No, not Howley. No,
I said it on Saturday's pod. The Lions' unstructured attack was excellent, as in the kick return, the broken field running was brilliant. But that's what happens when you have brilliant broken field runners like Williams, like Davis, like Watson, like Daly. Their structured attack was found wanting.
Yeah.
And that's the bit that Howley's responsible.
Same old story, isn't it? The closer they get to the try line, the harder it becomes. And that's why you see the All Blacks doing all these silly like little crossfield kicks and stuff, because they know that.
Yeah.
You know, look at Exeter Chiefs. They know that. Everyone knows this. It's just bloody hard. Mm. So no, I actually don't think they've done too bad at all. Actually, I think they'll come up with it a lot more credit than.
I think Gatland has done everything. I think he's done virtually everything right. I have no complaints about Gatland.
Gregor Townsend backline would have done infinitely better, I believe, than this Rob Howley backline.
I don't think it would. I don't think they'd have enough time together. And Rob Howley stuff is easy.
Well, there is no Rob Howley stuff.
Dead easy, is it?
Anyway, other games this week. Did you boys watch any of the other games? Because there was a few good ones.
I've seen most of the highlights, but I haven't studied them in detail.
So there was the Wales Samoa.
Yep.
Is it 18-19 or 17-19 win?
Yeah, 19-17, late try, 76 minutes.
Yeah.
And Wales were battling with a bunch of guys going down with food poisoning. And I think it's not a very remarkable game other than it happened at all. So I think that both Scotland and Wales should get a massive pat on the back and huge credit for just going there and doing it.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. It would be nice to have probably slightly higher resolution highlights to watch.
Yeah, because it's grainy.
That I watched that Fiji Scotland, the highlights of that this morning when I was a little bit hungover, and it's so grainy. And the camera, it's like watching the Blair Witch Project. I had to turn it off after a few minutes. I felt like I was going to be sick everywhere.
Rugby on found footage.
Nice. That was a great result for Fiji, though.
It was. It was very good.
Yeah, 27-22.
Scotland not. Are we surprised? But are we surprised? Scotland have a great win 1 week, and then have a really, like, relatively speaking, a poor performance the next week. That's something's changed and something's
don't.
Overall, it's a good trajectory. They're coming away with a win in Australia, but really disappointing to have just not
Scotland
finished
new
it
fronts.
Maybe I can't work France out at the moment.
Scotland are the old France.
Yeah.
France are the new France.
France are the new France, yeah.
There is no one like France.
Yes, I'll go with that.
France, well, Guy Nomes has got the dreaded vote of confidence.
Ooh.
After a 3-0 thrashing by South Africa. I think that's probably the most noteworthy thing in the international circuit is 6 wins, no defeats for South Africa.
Yeah, we were just talking about this before you came down here, and it might just be an argument of why you keep your coach. I mean, I thought
stability.
Yeah, that this guy was gone.
Yeah, just think how good England would be if they kept Stu.
Exactly. And this seems to be turning around. I mean, yeah, 3 wins against France. France famously travel really well. So that's, you know, one of those things.
Who was it? Tadhg Furlong was in. It was an interesting article. Was it a press conference? I can't remember which. But he was basically saying, I owe Stuart Lancaster a massive debt of gratitude for being on this tour.
Really?
I think the Lions tour. He said he
Stuart Lancaster's on the Lions tour.
No.
Oh right.
Tyke Furlong says I'm on this Lions tour because of Stuart Lancaster.
Because of the work he's done since he's been in Atlanta. Because Furlong has only really kind of burst onto the international scene in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and he said that Stuart Lancaster came into Leinster, identified Furlong as a potential world beater and Lion, and just pulled him aside and said, right, we're going to work on this. You should be on that Lions tour. You've got it in you.
Awesome.
Come on. And he didn't think he had at that point.
See, that's the kind of stuff that Lancaster is renowned for. He's brilliant at.
Yeah.
That's excellent. The South Africa, South Africa, a lot of positives, scored some very good tries. Some of the boys they've brought in, and probably their best players are all coming from that Lions team. So Malcolm Marks, brilliant. Whiteley didn't play this game because he was out injured, but very good. Jack O'Creel, who's come in at seven, magnificent. And Elton Yankees has been brilliant all tour. He is a world class tech.
Yeah, there's
playing
always
superb.
About him, isn't there? Like, do coaches know how to use him? And for the longest time, they've said in South Africa that they just can't get the best out of him in the South African jersey.
Well, Ackerman's done it at the Lions, and they are doing it for South Africa.
They're giving him they're making him kind of
the boy.
They're not making him. They're not trying to squeeze him into a system. They're trying to just let him do what he does, and that's it's really good. Yeah, and they've got Pollard and him. They've got two different really good tens.
Yeah.
That are very young.
Yeah.
Who was the other Yanchis that used to play? Wasn't there a really good fullback?
I'm not sure.
I'm sure there was a really talented fullback at one point called Yanchis. Anyway, enough of that.
good South Africa, positive, and they'll take it in that form into the Rugby Championship or Southern Hemisphere International Tournament against Australia, who are out of sorts.
And when do they
start
playing this?
Argentina, who aren't great. They've got a few more weeks of Super Rugby, so they go back to Super Rugby, and then they go into Rugby Championship August. September.
Does anyone think that the take out the All Blacks right from the Rugby Championship, the standard of that competition feels like it's plummeted recently?
Yeah,
I wouldn't go as far as to say plummeted, but it's not where it was.
It's just, yeah.
Or did the All Blacks just distort the picture completely?
Well,
I don't know.
It just feels so predictable.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know what odds you'll get on it, but All Blacks must be heavy, heavy favourites to win that tournament. I just can't see them losing a game.
No, I can't. Either.
Argentina haven't really come on since getting all their players down in South America, which has surprised me.
Yeah.
You talked about getting players together for an extended period of time. It's not translating, is it?
Yeah.
No.
I can't quite work that one out.
But they seem to do one thing for the Jaguares and another thing for Argentina.
Is it the same coaching setup or is it different coaching setups?
No, different coaching setup.
See, that doesn't seem to make sense.
No, it would make sense if they just did the whole thing
just
all the time.
Just because it's the same bunch of players getting them playing.
Yeah, because they're not even... I don't think they even take the European players anymore, do they?
They don't. They haven't on this tour. They didn't last year as well.
That said, you know when you watch them against England?
Yeah.
I mean, they did look exciting and they were playing nice rugby. So, I guess in terms of technical ability...
But it wasn't against England though, was it?
It was. It's not England.
If that was England, they'd have got battered.
England missed. So they lost against an England second string side.
Yeah.
England missing 13 or 15 players to the Lions.
And that's in Argentina.
Yeah.
That's...
It is disappointing.
Mm.
They played some good stuff and they scored some cracking tries, as they did this weekend. Their winger scored a hat-trick this weekend and they racked up 45 points against Georgia. But...
They conceded 29.
They did. Mm. And this whole thing, this three games, will be seen as negative for them.
Yeah.
I would say they are playing like Jaguares, as in defence optional.
Yeah.
The one thing I do love about these international winners, and I say it all the time, is all the cool matchups that we're getting with all the tier twos.
Argentina-Georgia is a cool fixture.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And Argentina in their... No, they were both in their change kits, so the very dark navy. I don't know why.
This needs to change.
Very dark navy, which is... wonderful, and that it's the first time I've seen that all white Canterbury Georgia kit with the gold trim.
Both of those two have got some of the best kits in world rugby. They really do.
Yeah, nice stash.
I'll tell you what I have got.
Go on.
I've got a tour story.
Oh, please do.
Excellent. So Raging Bull have been helping us do these extra podcasts throughout the Lions tour, and they've got wonderful, wonderful touring clobber for the rugby gentleman's attire. So you want nice blazers, nice shirts, nice polo shirts, chinos, all the rest of it, all that paraphernalia, pocket squares and socks.
Sounds exactly like what I want.
Exactly. Then ragingbull.co.uk. I mean, Phil Vickery is the man behind it, and he's a proper ledge. So ragingbull.co.uk, get 15% off by using the code EGG15. We've been asking for your tour stories to win some stash yourself. And thank you very much to James Sale, who's got in touch. Now, James plays for Belsize Park Rugby Club, which is London's most central club, and one of 21 clubs that was at the inaugural meeting of the Rugby Football Union in 1871, and widely considered the most toured club in the world.
Ooh.
Is that your beloved Hurricanes jersey just fell down at that point?
That is an omen, perhaps.
Wow.
For this week's game.
He said, as you imagine, this means we have many tour stories, but few that are suitable for broadcast. One of James's favourite stories is the quote-unquote penile identification parade, held in the penile identification parade. Yep.
Amazing.
Held in 1993 in a Texas car park, following the heinous crime of one of the team running up to the lead car of the convoy of Mustangs, which was stopped at some remote lights for roadworks, and urinating on the driver and passengers through their open window.
Oh, no.
Naturally enough, the chief suspect was brought before the tour court, but the defence counsel, modesty forbids me to mention his name, insisted that the driver could not be sure who's actually responsible for the inundation, since, by definition, his face was not visible through the window during the incident. The driver was adamant that he recognised the organ concerned, so the court was reassembled in the car park with the driver and passengers in their original seats, and a series of age and race matched penises were displayed through the open window. Needless to say, they were totally unable to identify the culprit, and the case was dismissed. Having broken the first rule of tour, what goes on tour stays on tour, I expect to be summoned to the tour court next season to defend myself. I expect the podcast will be listened to as evidence, which might be nice for our next hosts in Mozambique and Swaziland. Best regards and keep up the good work. Anonymous from Belsize Park. Oh, I'm going to have to take out his name. I'll have to edit his name out because it says Anonymous.
Anonymous.
Yeah, I'll edit the name out.
No worries.
I'm just looking at their touring history. They've been all over the States, Brazil.
Awesome. Wow.
Canada, South Africa, Hong Kong, Latvia, Barcelona, Venice, China, Belsize Park. Might look them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get your story, email it to contacteggchasers@gmail.com.
Tell you what.
And 15% off Raging Bull is worth doing.
EGG15 is the code.
Do you know, so Raging Bull do menswear. I'm just on their website at the moment. Their menswear, very nice. They also do a women's range. So the menswear range is Raging Bull. Mm-hmm. The women's range...
Raging sow? No, that's a pig.
Mad cow.
What's a female Clunch. Heifer?
Really?
Raging heifer?
No. So Raging Bull, the women's is Moody Cow. So if you've got a partner's birthday coming up, a special occasion, why not have a look?
Sorry, which international prop was nicknamed Moody Cow?
Graham Roundtree?
That's a good one. Player nicknames that aren't suitable for clothing ranges.
Mad Dog. That actually is. Lewis Moody could do a Mad Dog clothing.
Yeah. Mad Dog's absolutely fine. There will be some.
This the chiropractor. Clothing. You'd get confused. That wouldn't work on Google search for Brian Lima, would it?
No,
it
wouldn't.
He'd get calls from people needing their back sorted.
The most painful way to get your back sorted is to go for a meeting with Brian Lima.
Not many rugby players have nicknames full stop.
There's loads of nicknames, we're just not thinking of them.
Yeah.
King Louis clothing.
Yeah, that could work. King of Wilmslow clothing.
King of Wilmslow.
What other players have nicknames?
Lord Hammer of Hammershire. Oh,
Lord Hammer of Hammershire.
KP?
Yeah.
KP?
The King? If you don't know that, listen to our episode with Jonathan Mills.
Okay.
What's his name? The prop from Sale, St. Flynn.
Yeah, oh, James Flynn.
And King James Flynn, KP.
Danny Gipriani clothing.
Yeah.
For Dan Mugford.
There's loads.
Some people are tweeting actually saying that this peak thing that we've been saying is catching on in other parts of rugby.
It is, I've noticed this.
Because Nick Mullins in the French Open final said, or in the French Open, I think peak in the final, he was commentating on it and referred to peak Nadal. Oh, that's peak Nadal. And then on Five Live, they played a clip of Jim Telfer from the 97 Lions tour. And then it was referred to afterwards as, that's peak Telfer. So this peak thing is catching. Some lead and some follow, yeah. That's all I'll say.
God damn it. God damn them. Yeah, do you find it weird when you're watching tennis and it's Nick Mullins?
Nick Mullins, yeah, I do. He's very good, obviously.
Obviously. Right, where should we go with this next? Are we done? We've got other things.
Well, just the look ahead to Tuesday's fixture.
Yeah, when are the teams out? Are they already?
They're out.
They're out.
Teams out this morning.
So shall
I go through the Lions?
Yes, please.
So interesting. Jack Noll starts at 15. Seymour and George North on the wings. Then Joseph and Henshaw in the centres with Laidlaw and Dan Bigger as the halfbacks.
Mm.
Front row of Marler, Rory Best, who captains the side, and Dan Cole, Courtney Laws and Hendo both start with Haskell, Tipperick and CJ Stander as the back row. Then the bench, so you've got the trio of called up players, Dacey, Dell and Francis, with then Corey Hill as the second row replacement, and very interestingly, George Cruz as the back row replacement.
Oh.
Which might suggest, well, Alan Wynne-Jones did that role last Tuesday.
He had a knock.
And did start.
He took
a knock, and Marrow's going to start. Yeah. I don't think it necessarily means that Cruz isn't going to start.
No,
they might just be sharing out that duty. You know,
yeah.
There's only a limited amount of players. You do it one week. You do it the next week. Read nothing into this.
Yeah, but obviously because you've lost Moriarty, you have lost a back row forward. But interesting that they didn't call up anyone to cover that position. In the call ups.
We've got Hill.
This is the last game as
back
well.
Back row.
Corey Hill. And as for the Hurricanes, are we wanting to see
the other three? So Gareth Davis, Finn Russell, Jared Payne are the other three.
Yeah, and this is these guys. I don't expect anyone to play themselves into a shirt in the way that Elliot Daly and Liam Williams did last week, but potentially.
Never know, Dean.
No, you never know. But Courtney Laws is one
Laws
to watch.
And Hendo could
Laws and Hendo are one that could play themselves onto the bench,
and CJ Stander could as well.
And Jack McGrath came on and creaked.
Yeah.
So Joe Marler, big game from him, maybe. I don't expect that to be the case, but
Joe Marler would be a good shout.
But
I think Joe Marler has ruled himself out because of his petulant no arms tackle that got himself a yellow card in last week's game.
Mm.
He's just.
I tell you what, if I mean McGrath,
that's the Zangief in him, isn't it? Coming out,
it is. Yeah.
I say McGrath's a hard worker too, but Joe Marler's a very, very hard worker.
He is a very talented player, Joe. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Then. The
That back line for your beloved Canes.
Hurricanes.
Oh, my word.
It's pretty much full strength outside of 10.
9 and 10.
Yeah. Sorry, 9 and 10.
Yeah. Oh, you said outside of 10.
Yeah,
so,
the back line outside of 10. So is Surveyor and Milner Scudder as the wings. The as you mentioned before, Jay, the top two try scorers in Super Rugby in Vince Arso and Lau Mappi.
Yep.
And then Jordy Barrett as fullback.
Tidy.
And
it's not too shabby.
They've got a handy pack as well. Missing a couple of players, but not too many from that pack. So it's going to be an interesting game, this. It will not be an easy fixture at all for the Lions.
So, yeah, if they lose this, sadly, my prediction of them losing all of the all of their provincial games hasn't quite come true, but very nearly did. Because they will only have come away with a win against Crusaders, is that right? They got two wins.
Two wins, Chiefs.
Yeah, they beat the Chiefs.
Oh, they did, yeah.
It's 2-2 so far.
Two and two.
Yeah.
No, well, it's three. If you discount the Barbarians game, it's 2-2.
Yeah, you discount Barbarians and discount Maori All Blacks.
Yeah.
2-2 against the Super Rugby team.
Against Super Rugby.
What is the backup fly half like for Hurricanes?
So
he's probably amazing, isn't he?
Otir Black, I am a little bit surprised they've not moved Jordy Barrett in there.
Yeah.
Not that he's played much there, but he played there in the under-20s World Cup.
He's called Barrett. He'll do a job.
Yeah. He's fairly handy.
But this guy's even better. But he's amazing.
Yeah.
Hold on, how many brothers is there? There's four brothers, isn't there?
I think there's four. There's three who are All Blacks, and there's another one who's, I think he's a little...
Oh, Springbok. Poor fella.
I know.
Poor lad.
Yeah,
there is a story, actually, because their father played for the All Blacks. And in his retiring game in the early 90s, I think it was, he got interviewed because it was his final ever game. So they said, what are you going to go do now? And he said, I'm going to go and breed some All Blacks.
I'd love to find that interview.
And he did. He has done.
Probably do. You know what, like the fourth Barrett probably is not going to say it rugby, but it's going to become like the world's best... like hedge fund trader. or he's going to play NFL QB or something.
Barrett Senior then, his like third date would have been, right, let's go to the running track. Let's go, let's see what you got. Let's see what you can deadlift.
Yeah, we're going to the gym.
But it's so weird that there's a fullback, there's two utility backs and a second row.
Yeah. But Jordy Barrett, the youngest fullback, he is 6'5".
Yeah.
He's a big boy.
Oh, blessed with genes. So, should we do a score prediction for our friends at Leo Vegas?
We should.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you want some music, Tim?
Yeah, go on then.
Oh, go on then.
Let's do it.
We'll do it live.
We need to get that as a little clip. So leovegas.com is where you need to head for your rugby betting. They love their rugby, so do we. They love us, we love them, and you will as well. So our game of the week is, for the time being, we've got two big games, but first pressing one is the final game against the provincial teams, the final game for half of the touring party of the British and Irish Lions, and they'll be wanting to go out in style and give some momentum to the squad, but they're going to find it tough for the reasons we just talked about with the squad. I think the Hurricanes will edge it.
How many points?
I'm going to say the Hurricanes by 6. Although, no, it's the last game. It's the last game for the Lions. No, the Lions are going to win by 6. Lions by 6.
I think the Canes will win it. Canes by 12.
I think the Lions... There's still a lot on the line for the Lions. And there are players playing for their place, second test and indeed the third test, because we don't know what the injuries and how things are going to work out. So I think the Lions have got a huge amount of incentive, but that is a hell of a Canes side.
It is a hell of a Canes side.
I've got my wonderful Canes jersey on at the moment, and I'm going to back them. Canes by 7 points.
Wait, get off my bell.
If you want to touch JB's bell, make sure you touch his synthetic bell.
Yeah, exactly. Can I just put out one last question before we wrap this up? Liony question.
Yeah.
And actually, this is a good one for Twitter to get involved with. Lions obviously only tour three countries at the moment.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think there should be a fourth tour, because there's so many tier twos now coming through the ranks? And what do you think that tour should be or should look like?
I don't need to answer question number two, because question number one is no. But what I would do is make the warm-up element.
So you don't think
playing another nation like Argentina or Georgia or Japan, I would make that part of the tour, but en route.
So you don't think that they should go to any other countries and play tests?
No,
I don't think it. I'm with you, Tim. I think
not now.
I think in 15, 20 years, you could potentially have an Argentina team. But the problem is you would have to then play other internationals as... Because there's no... The Argentinian Super Rugby team is the Argentinian national team.
That is
so
true.
So you'd play the Jaguares.
The Jaguares would be like, you know, the midweek Chiefs side, where they just get all the kids in.
Yeah.
But here's the clever part. You would start in Canada and work your way down.
You could do that.
And you'd have USA, you could, you'd have
not
Canada.
Yet. I think you're 20 years off that being feasible.
Yeah, and even if it's available, even if that is a possibility, I don't like it, because it means It means you would only visit New Zealand every 16 years, which means you skip more than a generation of players.
But do you not think
I think one of the things is that every player has the Lions coming to their country in their playing career.
But do you know, when we look at rugby and how it's expanding at the moment, I think like the new Tier 2 calendar for World Rugby is absolutely brilliant. I mean, you know, look at us when we went over to Georgia. I mean, we're really seeing progress. Do you not worry that you're closing off one of rugby's great institutions to 99% of the world just to tour the same
it's been closed off to France, who have been not an emerging nation, they're an established nation.
That is true.
Who have got to World Cup finals, they don't get a look in.
All right, and so let's flip it around then. Is there any other combination of nations you would like to see form their own type of Lions tour?
Well, so that's a slightly different way of looking at it, and I think
a mainland European team.
You could do something like that, but the way that you now have the separate tournaments, like the Pacific tournament, the Americas tournament. So the Americas tournament goes off at the same time as the Six Nations. You've got the separate tiers of the Six Nations, which obviously also happen at the same time. I think the way that it is being built is excellent all round. So one of your previous arguments about not expanding the Six Nations was the tradition and the history of it.
Yes. Yeah, and that's you're a bit of a dichotomy there, JB.
Because I've always been very, very clear on this. The traditional competitions stay, because that's where you get your passion, your pride, and your
passion, and your pride.
Release the dragons! That's when all that stuff happens. But the summer tours and the autumn internationals offer exactly this thing. So, which is to spread the game as far and wide as you can.
I agree, but I think the Lions, because it's...
The Lions are special, the legends go with it.
The history behind the Lions is incredible, so I think we leave the Lions.
And I agree. It's about going and doing... It's about touring one country. It's about immersing yourself in that one country. And that's what's been really great about this tour versus 2005, is they've really done
also,
that.
Also, like, the countries they tour are so westernised anyway. It's like, you can go there. I mean, a tour of Georgia would be pretty brutal. You know, send them somewhere else. Send them a tour of Congo.
What might be interesting, potentially, a summer thing which could happen maybe another time, or maybe the same time as a Lions tour, but like you could have like a Ryder Cup for rugby, like Europe v Americas.
Yeah.
You could have South America and North America. You could maybe have to have players from every country represented. France, Italy, Georgia, Romania.
I think some sort of South American tour might work.
And then...
Certainly Pacific Islanders, Barbarians type. Do you know the one that played under Pat Lam? That was that was pretty cool, but that never got...
But I think this should be part of a Lions tour. And I think this will happen, so they'll play Japan on their way to
How important
traveling south.
Is the location for the Lions? What I mean by that is, do they stay in the same hotel throughout the whole tour, then... Strike out.
So they move on every couple of days.
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah.
They went straight from Auckland to Wellington.
The logistics involved in getting just the pitches set up.
Yeah.
And knowing what to coach them when you're moving continually. When you do your video stuff.
Yeah, it's all got to be mobile, isn't it?
Nobody realises.
I think most of the time they've been travelling straight after a game because players are so wired. Mm. From being awake, from having played, they just think, sod it, let's get the travelling done.
They're late night games, and it's tough to sleep after a late night game. You have so much caffeine, and the adrenaline's going so much.
They've popped some hemo rage. There's Welsh boys popping. There's Valley boys popping the hemo rage.
But they did. So in 2005, they played Argentina, didn't they?
Yeah.
At Millennium, I think it was, and then in 2013 they played the Barbarians in Hong Kong. But so to play for example Japan in Japan,
that'd be a great
Islander team in Singapore, like Scotland and Italy played in Singapore, do something like that, or even play Argentina in Argentina, go that way round.
How much extra time does that take up
In terms of actual distance? It's probably not that much more, but it would.
You've got a big old, the problem is you've got a big old stretch of ocean.
I'm sure
civil aviation laws about how far you can fly.
I think this is a good happy medium, because there isn't enough teams and enough quality of teams to warrant even the whole Americas, South and North it wouldn't sustain a whole Lions tour.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be good enough quality, and then people wouldn't, and therefore people wouldn't be as interested in it. But this is the way you get the happy medium. So we could do away with.
Imagine in 20 years' time playing the USA. In Chicago, how excited in New
we,
York.
How excited would we be about that tour? You have one in Chicago.
Yeah.
You have a game in... No, you go somewhere in Canada.
Oh, no, yeah, that one. But just think if you keep it traditional and you just have the stopover game, you could do it east or west, so you could go via USA.
Yeah.
So you play the USA as your first warm-up game and then head to New Zealand.
Or you could even have the midweek game is USA and then the Saturday game is Argentina.
Yes.
For example. Yeah. And then you go and do you have a provincial team or two. But actually, it's squeezing the most for the game out of the Lions tour.
And do you know what?
All anyone really cares about is the test matches. I think the touring...
And the sponsorship cash. Don't forget that.
Yeah. The USA sponsorship cash would be hefty.
The money's got to be there to make it work. But when... New Zealand's sponsor is AIG. I mean, we've got AIG to thank for a lot. They were the ones that first dragged the All Blacks over to Chicago from when we went. So if the willingness is there, America actually isn't that far away for it to happen.
Yeah.
Because the All Blacks are sponsored by an American insurance broker. Which is perfect.
Yeah, but that's quite an ugly, cynical...
That's not
way of looking at it, really, because the whole point is this is over 100 years old, these tours.
Yeah, it's fine. So yeah, they could do that.
I think maybe 15-20 years it could be a possibility for one game, no more.
I wouldn't be surprised if on the next tour a team gets a game, Argentina or Japan, one of those two.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In South Africa. Yeah. Right, let's leave it there, boys.
Okay, yeah. Play France. If you're going to South Africa, fly to Paris, play France.
I wouldn't wish going to Paris on my worst enemy. let alone sending the Lions there.
It's a really ugly spot. If we're such a gorgeous city, it's a really ugly spot, awful. That ground, isn't it?
Horrendous. Right, come on, let's go home.
Okay.
Let's go. All right, nice one. So will we do a podcast after the...
Probably wait till the test team
is announced. So we'll have a podcast when the test team is announced, and then we'll be there with you after the second test. We'll have the full complement on that podcast.
I'm up in Edinburgh
this weekend,
this coming weekend. So I'll be watching the game. I might do a JB and plan to dial in and not dial in.
Sorry, boys.
We'll see where I get to.
Busy.
You have to do a drunken periscope.
I've missed two podcasts since this thing first started.
You didn't even miss a podcast when you've been impaled by a tree.
Exactly.
When you were half an hour post surgery and still dialed in.
I reckon I might have almost as good a record as that JB. I can't remember missing. Oh no, I've missed more than two.
You missed more than two.
Three or four.
We've got pretty solid records, but I've only missed two.
But that's the point. Some people are having a nice long summer holiday. We're here for you constantly. So hit subscribe, tell your mates, and let the boys play.
Sound. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free.
warbyparker.com/covered.